much for your word. We ask you, please, by the power of your love, you would show us what you have for us, God. Teach us that the strength of your word would anoint us, and the direction of your word would lead us, the power of your Holy Spirit would convict us and encourage us, and that above everything else, we would seek to do your will and your perfect pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In the power of Christ we pray, amen. This letter, Philemon, is a very interesting little letter. One small chapter, we will complete it today. Paul showing his authority, yet also showing his gentleness. Philemon, I want you to give you a little forewarning. It's not a letter to the person it's written to, it's you. You are a man called Onesimus. It's you. And when we start to go through this, you're going to see how on your behalf, the Lord Jesus pleaded for your life with authority. Reading verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Epaphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of the love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Please give me your attention. Paul, in his travels, he comes across, some would say that he was in Rome. He comes across this man, and this man gives his life to the Lord. The name's man is Philemon. And he encourages him. He says, hey, you know, you're taking the stuff that God gave you, and you're doing good things with it, and I'm proud of you. People everywhere you go are talking about how great your love for God is, and how the love that you have is setting others free. You do crazy things, like when you're at the hospital, you don't just pray for the people at the hospital. You meet people in the elevator, and you go pray for them too. There's no place that can escape the craziness of your love for God. It's one of those things that is convicting, but also a goal to reach for. When you first get saved, Dean was talking about we got baptized at the same time. Me and Dean both got baptized at the International Olympic Pool in Fort Lauderdale in 1994. I remember that day. I was anxious. I didn't know anything about baptism. I thought it was for, you know, Catholic babies. That's what I grew up, you know. And then the pastor that was teaching said, oh, you want to be baptized. Baptized, what is that? My wife, having been brought up in Christ, she showed me, oh, that you have to pledge your conscience to God, and that you are making yourself to do what's called an archetype or a symbol or a picture, where you die and then come up out of the water like Christ rose. And I said, but do I need to do that for salvation? She said, no, honey, when you opened your heart to Christ, that's when you were saved. This is your first step of obedience. Because it's a crazy thing. You get saved at first, and when you get saved, it's just something that happens in your heart. Now, some people bypass all of this to this. And instead of letting it work its way out, they just adopt this, lingo. Why a lot of people don't like your pastor? I don't adopt lingo. I'm just me. I'm not perfect. I'm not pathetic. And I'm not plastic. You get what you get when you get me. I don't know Christianese, Christian lingo. I don't play with that. If you don't like the word crap, you probably won't like this church. But my mother told me way dirtier jokes than that, so crap in my house was something we were allowed to say. I am sorry if it offends some people from the pulpit. I am. But it's a big, big step. Some of you guys understood. Not to bring attention to myself, I'm trying to illustrate. Let God do the work on the inside. By the time it makes its way to the outside, the work will be thorough. The work will be thorough. But if you just start hanging out at a church and they use, you know, well, that's neat. Oh, you know, cool words, man. And you know, well, I'm going to dress like that guy because he's a real Christian. And, oh, well, that's cool, you know. I think you missed it. God doesn't need... You ever see the fish that people put on the back of their vehicles? You know what I don't like about them? They all look the same. Some of you guys are sharks. Some of you guys are whales. Some of you guys are sergeant fish. Some of you guys are, you know, I love that. It's a whole family. You guys with me? When you get baptized, you're going to the beach around all the people, dressed the way they're dressed, looking the way they look, and they're all going to go like this. What's going on over there? You're going to see people on the pier because we're going to be right near the pier, and people are going to be leaning over. Ah, yeah. That's what we do. Now, you might have been baptized before. Well, then you can't get baptized again. No, that's not true either. You get baptized every time we have a baptism. I don't care. Makes no difference to me. Hey, the first time it didn't take, whatever. Try it again. Or maybe the first time you were baptized, you weren't married, and now you got married, and now we're going to baptize two people at once. Maybe you're starting a new ministry. Let's baptize you for that ministry. Let's just tell God we love him and do the sacrament the way, you know, why not? Let God do the work. That was like a segue. Philemon was doing stuff like that. And everywhere he went, the cry of his heart was the same. But there was a part of his heart, guys, that was kind of not completely sanctified. Some of us have these things. It's what I like to call residue. Residue. I, as you might assume, have a little bit of residue. Coming from the streets that I come from, the area I come from, every once in a while I start to get a little wound up and you hear the New York come out of me again. Some of you guys, it's the Brazilian. Some of you guys, it's the panic. Some of you guys, it's the ghetto, whatever. Whatever. Here, the Apostle Paul dealt with... Listen, it was really nicey-nice what he said from the beginning. Did you hear it? Oh, you're such a... did so good. Let me paraphrase it for you in like modern day. Oh, Philemon, we're all so proud of you. Oh, you're doing such a great job. The church in your house. I want you to imagine Philemon reading this letter up till now. The Apostle Paul remembers me? Oh, man, he's encouraging me. Refreshed by me? I can't wait to read the rest of it. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. 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 How did Paul meet Onesimus? Are you kidding me? I mean, right now, Philemon's got to be like, I hate that kid. I hate that kid. His name keeps coming up everywhere. So, background for you. Philemon has a guy that works for him. His name is Onesimus. Onesimus is a thief and a liar. He's a game player. And he gets busted. And you know what he does after he gets busted? He runs away. And then some would say, now this is a little conjecture, he gets arrested. He gets put in jail. And guess who he gets put in jail next to? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul leads him to Christ. Onesimus starts telling him his story, and he goes, Philemon? Really? Don't worry. I'll talk to Philemon. No, man, I'm telling you, I was terrible to the guy. He hates me. I'll take care of it. I know people. I got to tell you this funny story, and this is so God. It's not like this at all, but it's kind of like God. Same scenario. Going back about 10 years ago, I used to go to this bank up east. And in the bank, there was always this very nice girl, and I would say hello to her, and I'd give her my deposit, and I'd make deposit. And then all of a sudden, I started to realize she wasn't being nice, she was being flirtatious. And like stupid me, like, I kind of liked it. She was young, she was pretty, I'm old, not so pretty. But whatever, you know, I was like, thank you, all right, thank you. I go to my car, I'm like, I still got it. That was where it ended, that's where it began. There was nothing ever more than that. I never flirted back, I didn't get her phone number. You know, I'm a very happily married man, a Christian, and a pastor, nonetheless. Well, one day, one of my fighters was fighting in Fort Lauderdale. And I said, hey, baby, I tell my wife, you want to go to the fights with me one night? She always says no, never want to go to fights. Nope, don't want to go. This time she said, yeah, I'll go with you. It's like, all right. So we packed up the car, we drove down to Fort Lauderdale. And I had to get the guy prepared and all of that stuff, but I still had about 2 hours before the fight. So I was like, you want to grab something to eat before we? Sure. Well, which restaurant you want to go? We don't want to go there. Where you want to go? I don't care. Where do you want to go? Baby, we'll eat wherever you want to eat. You decide. Okay, let's eat there. No, I don't want to eat there. Got it. Honey, is there any place in particular you would like to eat? Any kind of food? I don't know. I don't know these restaurants. Well, how about that one there? No, there's not enough cars in the parking lot. What does that mean? Well, if nobody's eating there, then that means it's no good. Honey, where do you want to eat? I don't care, you decide. So she decides where we're going to eat, and we go in there and we sit down, and we order our food, and we sit outside. It's such a nice day, and who comes strolling up the sidewalk? The girl from the bank. And because I didn't do anything that I need to be ashamed of, I said, hello. But let me tell you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, your sin will find you out. And if I'd have been a bad boy, even a little, that would have been an embarrassing spot for me. But I wasn't, because I honored my wife. And you who think you're getting away with stuff, listen, it was Spanky from the Little Rascals who said it best. You could fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. Well, he said it a little different. He said, but you can't fool Ma. If you're under 45 in here, you have no idea what I'm saying. But there was the Little Rascals, and I'm not talking about the old Little Rascals from the 90s. I'm talking about the Little Rascals from the 40s. The real ones. So back to the story. This guy gets saved. He meets the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul says, I'll take care of it. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to Philemon. And because God knows exactly what Philemon needs to hear and where he needs to hear it, because there was apparently going on in the life of Philemon, you know, I love the whole Christianity thing. I do. I love the freedom that I've been forgiven for my sins. I love the whole idea that his mercy is new every day. There's just some people in my life that I don't like. And it's better if they just stay away from me. And that's exactly where God says, oh, no, no, no. That's exactly where we're going to camp out for a little while. Isn't God great like that? You know, God, I got 99 problems. And you're dwelling in the one that I don't want to deal with. You know what I'm saying or not? Look how he deals with it. God bless him indeed. I appeal to you, verse 10, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Now, if you read the Bible in the most literal form and you don't look at inflection in language, I understand you might not catch this. But the inflection here is really directed, let's just say Paul's pouring it on pretty heavy. You know, this guy who once robbed you, who was unprofitable for you, he's going to be profitable to you again and to me. And basically, since you owe me your life, I want you to take him back. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to say any more about it because I want it to be your choice. I don't want to have to compel you to do this, even though I can. Do you guys see all this yet? Oh, you will, because he gets more fun with it. Verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping. If you've ever been with somebody, if you've ever had an employee, if you've ever worked for a boss, if you've ever had anybody in your life at all, family, cousin, friend, and all of a sudden they get saved, and God wants you to call them and reconcile with them. And you're like, I could have done my whole life without this. I forgave them. I swear I forgave them. God says forgive. He doesn't say forget. Oh, this is so God, this letter. This little one-page letter. And I don't know who here is like, I might be shooting way over some of your guys' head right now. And I don't mean over your head like isn't above you. I mean like, you're not going through that right now. But oh, I know there's more than a few that are here right now. And God is using this right now to say, forgive and forget. Let it go. I don't want to. Remember what I said to you from the start? This is how God pled for your life. He didn't plead with the devil. He pled with the Father. My pastor used to always say, whenever God looks at you, he has to put on these rose-colored glasses. and they're rose-colored because they're stained with the blood of his son. And he only sees you filtered through that. He didn't see the horrible things that you did growing up, the terrible thing. He didn't see the terrible things that you said. He didn't see all of the people that you offended, hurt, abused. He just puts these glasses on and he sees his son. And he tells the father, that one's mine. And the enemy starts going, do you know what he did? You know what she did? You know where she's been? You know what she did last night? And so I'm sorry, I can't hear anything negative about, just, Father, this one's ours. And the enemy says, no, it's not. No, that one's ours. He was unprofitable, but now he's very profitable. Oh, I can't stand when it's played out that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that whole parable that the Lord Jesus said about the guy that was forgiven 75 talents and yet he didn't forgive one talent for... You guys remember? Those verses are always... Am I the only one that's struggling with this? I'm not alone, right? Okay. Him too. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Guys, are you seeing this? Oh, man. I want you to let this settle in, guys, just like I'm having to let it settle in. Because there's a few people in my life, and I'm really glad they're gone. Please don't come back. God, don't do this to me. But you're there now. And God is saying, as I let it go, you let it go. But he owes me. Put it on my account. I don't even get my money back? I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Oh, yeah, how are you going to repay? You're in jail. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Wait, I thought he wasn't going to compel him. I thought I'm supposed to do this on my own. You guys see this? This is so bad. Like, you're seeing the fleshly side of the Apostle Paul here. You're seeing, like, the Apostle Paul kind of like, yeah, really? You're getting a little pushy here, Paul, aren't you? I mean that in no irreverent way, because what's great is that the Apostle Paul is encouraging Philemon to do the right thing. Come on, man. You know it's right. And you know as soon as you do it, you're going to feel better. You know it. You know it's right, but I've held on to this thing for so long. It's been so many years. It's the wound, even though it's a long time ago, it never healed. That's exactly why. You guys ever tell you that story about baseball when I was 14? My father was a AAA baseball player. And my father had four sons. First one died at birth. Then my older brother. Then myself, and then another one died at birth. Actually before, right after birth. Me and my brother grew up, and all my father did from the time we were 6 years old was baseball schools, baseball school, baseball camp, baseball school, baseball camp, baseball school, baseball camp. He was going to make us baseball players. At 14 years old, I was playing in three different leagues. And one time, I slid into home, scored the winning run. We had a big party. We went out for a celebration and didn't get home till like 9 o'clock at night. And at 14 years old, I didn't like taking showers. So I didn't take a shower. The next day I woke up, still didn't take a shower. I was 14, I'm sorry. Stop giving me that look. And you know what happened? The raspberry on the bottom of my, on the top of my thigh, below my butt cheek, got infected. Because it was a few days. And then it gets all infected and started getting nasty, and wow, my father was like, oh, we gotta take you to the doctor. And I was like, I don't wanna go to the doctor. I don't like, give me a shot. I hated shots back then. Like now they got the tiny little needles. Back then, you got a shot, they would put like a spike in you. Poof. Remember getting a tetanus shot? It felt like it was in there, like jelly in there for like 2 weeks. Like, oh my goodness. Sorry, yeah. So you know what he had to do first? First of all, I had to pull my pants down in front of all the nurses, which was embarrassing as it is, because I was 14. And then he had to get hydrogen peroxide and soak the thing until it was soft. And then he had to get a towel and wipe all of the dry and crusty pus and dirt, and it's nasty, isn't it? Ryan, why are you telling us this story? Because that's what's happening to you. And God's got to clean it out, man. And a spiritual wound like this is worse than a physical wound. Bitterness and embittered, let it go. Forgiveness receiving is as important as forgiveness giving. Whether they ask for it or not, whether they deserve it or not, the root of bitterness that will form in our heart with anything unforgiven, it's better to be wrong than right in most cases. You know what? Who cares? I could tell you my sad stories about my parents. This, you know what? They're dead. What am I going to do now? Forget it, dude. Let it go. Do that. You know what I'm saying? Man. Guys, I ain't gonna lie to you. This walk ain't easy. It's like anything that comes natural, anything that comes like, you get saved and you know, God puts a smile on your face. Maybe he takes cursing from you. Maybe all of a sudden you become a hardworking, legitimate business. Maybe some, and it's like God's like, it's not enough. It's like, what more? Well, I want that. No, I like that. No, I'm taking that. And then he takes that. And you're like, how much more? Never stops. It's called sanctification. It never, ever stops. And you'd think like God's up in heaven, yeah, no, I've done enough, Todd. You've been so good. I mean, you've let me take so much, but so I'm gonna, no. You know, you got that little dark spot on your heart. I gotta deal with that. Can we just, there'd be no problem with me dying with that in there. Oh no, we're gonna deal with that. There's a line in one of Rita Springer's songs. It's right. It's on the same album as Fire Fall Down, and that's why it reminded me of it. It says, "You break down all my walls just because you wanted me to be free." It's the craziest line. You break down all my walls just because you wanted me to be free. But it's not. It doesn't make sense. Why would you break down my protection? Why would you pull down my barriers that have kept me from? Guys, you know why I tell you about my life so much? Because it don't matter. I am a sick, twisted, perverted criminal. That's what I am. okay? All right? And whatever freedom I've been given is because I don't care anymore. It's all out there. The reason a lot of people hate small churches is because people talk so much. And, oh, that's what I don't like about small churches. People always know each other's business. Yeah, but once they know your business, it's over. It's free. When I was growing up in South Florida, I moved to South Florida when I was in my early 20s. There was this band called Jane's Addiction. And he had a song, this guy, Perry Farrell, who headed this band, called Whores. And there was a line in that song I loved. He said, love them whores, man, they don't judge. What can you say when you're a whore? Like, yeah. Free. So free. And the last thing I wanted to do is go into a church, a place where there were so many people who were so perfect, so much better than me, so I could have sit there and like everybody look at me knowing, well, there he is. There's the criminal. There's the liar. There's the cheat. There's the pervert. There he is. Guys, whatever it is that the enemy has lied to you in your heart, in your head, I want you to know something right now. The guy or the girl sitting next to you is probably worse than you. I know all their stories. Believe me, they're worse than you. Right, Rock? You see it? You see it? We are all messed up. And God has been so merciful and so faithful. Who, man, you know what? Man, I'm going to the beach today. I'm going to baptize some people. And here's what's going to happen at the beach when we're baptizing people. Some people are going to be, hey, what are you guys doing over there? I'm going to baptize you. You want to get baptized too? Well, yeah, I want to get baptized. I baptize people. I don't know where they care. That guy go to our church. Marty brings me. Sometimes he brings me. Name's John. He just walked up, said he wanted to be baptized. All right. Baptize you, John. One time we were at the beach baptizing. It was me. You remember? I got some great stories. It's a black side. See, he's half black and half white. The black side don't like the water. So we're about to baptize, and I have my hand on front and back. And all of a sudden, Matt starts dancing and running away. I'm like, what happened? He goes, man, it was like a barracuda or something. And then another time, we're baptizing this guy, and he's a surfer. And we're baptizing, and Matt goes, uh-oh. And I was like, what's the matter? We look, and there's like a six-foot wave coming at us. So me and the surfer, we run into the wave and dive into it. Matt, he runs away from it. And the next thing we see is Matt just rolling on the surf. It's like, Matt, you're supposed to go and say, well, what do I know? You remember that? Man, oh man. If you then count me as a partner, back to verse 17, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Had a little fun with the chapter, but it's a heavy chapter. You know, it's the type of chapter you can really lay it on hard and thick and be make everybody leave feeling good. I mean, feeling bad, but I'd rather you leave here feeling good. Like, you know what? It's to my benefit to forgive those that have wronged me. It's to my benefit to let go of those that have hurt me. It's to my benefit. No more bitterness, no more hurt, no more anger. It's an encouragement. Just felt like putting the Bible away right then and there, Bubba Drew. Why not? So I don't blame you. I appreciate you putting that away. So does Matt, because Matt's the one who's going to hand them out later. Maybe he needs help, and later on you could help him do that. I'm not trying to encourage you or anything like that. I want it to be free of any kind of manipulation, but if you need help forgiving people, if you are one of those people who holds a grudge, especially if you are Sicilian Italian like myself, and holding grudges is just kind of what you do. It's in your blood. I understand. So I'm going to ask you, let me pray for you. If you would stand up if you need help forgiveness, and let's just pray this prayer together. Yeah. That's it. A lot of Sicilians in the house today. I'll pray over you guys. Father God, I thank you so much that you are the one who forgives us. And forgive me, please, God, for not being able to forgive others as you forgive me. I need your help, God. I need you to look in to my heart, into my mind, into my my bloodline even, God, and see what is it in me that holds so much ill will toward those that have hurt me when you don't hold ill will toward me, and certainly I've hurt you every bit as much. God, please send an angel now to reach down into my heart and pluck out these roots, these stones. Father, I want to forgive. I do. It's just so difficult, God. I get so stubborn in myself. God, we as brothers and sisters that are standing and those that are sitting, that maybe they don't even know they don't forgive. God, we call upon a living and loving God, an awesome and mighty God, to do what we can't do naturally, please do supernaturally. That forgiveness that flowed from the nails in your hands, from the slice in your side, from the nails in your feet, from the crown of thorns on your head, from the stripes on your back. It flow to my heart, our hearts. We need you, God. We need you also to protect us, because we don't want to get hurt again if we forgive. Help us to be wise with our forgiveness, please. But God, if you're standing up here, just I want you to, in your mind, just think of the person's name and just throw it to God. Cast your care upon him because he cares for you. Cast. Take it. Thank you, God, that we can come to you in our time of need and find mercy. We thank you for this, that little letter, that little book of Philemon. We thank you that we are Onesimus. Thank you, God, for pleading on our behalf. We love you and we appreciate you, and we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.